पाकिजूरे पसना विदरे पशु पाकिजूरे पशु पाकिजूरे पसना विदरे पशु पाकिजूरे सुनि जार बोल गाता सुनि जार बोल गाता सुनि जार बोल गाता सुनि जार संसारे मजिया रहिले परिया से पदे नहिल सारे संसारे मजिया रहिले परिया से पदे नहिल संसारे अपन करम भुंजाए समान अपन करम अपन करम भुंजाए समान अपन करम काहे लोचन दास काहे लोचन काहे लोचन दास काहे लोचन परम करुणा बहु दुई जन निताई गौरचंद्र परम करुणा सवयावतार सरसी रमणि सवयावतार सवयावतार सरसी रमणि सवयावतार केवल आनंद गौरानिताय जय गौरानिताय जय गौरानिताय 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 जय
Nittai and Lord Chaitanya are very merciful. They are the essence of all incarnations. For prosecuting their way of self-realization, chanting and dancing is simply joyful. My dear brother, I request that you just worship Lord Chaitanya and Nityananda with firm faith and conviction. If one gives up sense gratification, it is sure that he will reach the desired goal. One simply has to chant Hare Krishna, Hare Hare, without any motive of sense gratification. My dear brother, you just try and examine this. Within the three worlds, there is no one like Lord Chaitanya or Lord Nityananda, because their merciful qualities are so great that they make even birds and beasts cry. What to speak of human beings? This Hare Krishna mantra chanting is so nice that even the most stone-hearted man will be melted. My dear mind, you are entrapped in this sense gratification process, and you have no attraction for chanting Hare Krishna. Since you have no attraction for the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, what can I say? I can simply think of my misfortune. Yamaraj, the superintendent of death, is punishing me by not allowing me to be attracted by this movement. So we'll turn now to page 15.
Nitai pada kamala koti chandra susitala Nitai pada kamala koti chandra susitala Nitai pada kamala Koti Chandra Susitala Nitai Pada Kamala
Koti Chandra Susitala
Je Chaya Jagat Jo Rai Je Chaya Jagat Jo Nitai vine bhai Radha Krishna paite nai Nitai vine Nitai vine bhai Radha Krishna paite nai Nitai Dera kare dara Nitai bai Dera kare dara मंद नाहे जाय वृथा जन्म गेलता से सामंद नाहे जाय से सामंद नाहे जाय वृथा जन्म गेलता मंद नाहि जा से पशु भर दूरा जा से पशु भर दूरा से पशु भर दूरा
Satare satta kore mani ya satare a satare satta kore mani a satare Taye Corona Have Braje Radha Krishna Pave Nitaye Nitaye Corona Have Braje Radha Krishna Pave Nitai charana do kani charani tai charana do kani charani tai Nitaye charana satta tara sevakanita Nitaye charana satta Nitaye charana satta tara sevakanita Nitaye charana satta Asatare satta kore mani Asatare satta Asatare satta Narottama bara dukhi nitai more kar sukhi Narottama
But millions of moons. The shade of Lord Nityananda's lotus feet give relief from the sufferings of material existence. If one does not take shelter of the lotus feet of Lord Nityananda, then it will be very difficult for him to approach Radha and Krishna. Therefore, with firm conviction, one should take shelter at Lord Nityananda's lotus feet. Anyone who has not contacted a relationship with Lord Nityananda is understood to have spoiled his human birth. Such a person is just like a misbehaved animal. Such persons never say the name of Lord Nityananda. They simply become absorbed in so-called material enjoyment. What benefit will such persons obtain by their so-called academic education or birth in a high family or a great nation? These persons have become maddened by a false conception of life, and they have forgotten their eternal relationship with Nityananda. And instead they accept the illusory material energy as factual. If you actually want to approach the association of Radha and Krishna, you must achieve the mercy of Lord Nityananda first. When he is merciful toward you, then you will be able to approach Radha and Krishna. For this reason, one should firmly catch the lotus feet of Lord Nityananda. The lotus feet of Lord Nityananda are not illusion, they are fact. And therefore, one who engages in the transcendental loving service of Nityananda is also transcendental. For this reason, one should always try to catch the lotus feet of Lord Nityananda. O Lord Nityananda, this Narottam Das is very unhappy. And therefore, I am praying that you please make me happy. Please keep me in a corner of your reddish lotus feet. So when one goes on Prikrama in Navadvip, in Jagannath Puri, or also in Braj, one should always accompany his Prikrama with the kirtan and bhajans. And when one comes to each particular place, he should sit and sing some bhajan in that place that will evoke the mood of the particular mood of that place. And this is the correct way to actually perform Prikrama. So we're so fortunate because we have some guests here who are chanting so nicely, and because we have so many bhajans that are reminding us of Navadvip Dham and the glories of Navadvip Dham. So we'll try to sing something every night from now on that we have our books, so we can capture the mood of being in Prikram in Navadvip. So tonight, last night we spoke about Srila Prabhupada and Srila Prabhupada's predictions, his vision. What he could see was about to take place, beginning to take place in Sri Mayapur Dham. Tonight I want to speak somewhat about Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, who was, of course, as we know, the inspiration for everything that Srila Prabhupada was doing. Srila Prabhupada said one time, "You have written so many nice things in praise of me, but I think that my Guru Maharaj is great. I am not great, he is great. So sometimes by association with the great, one appears to be great. Just like the sun is great in heat and light, and by reflecting the greatness of the sun's light, the moon in the dead of night also appears great. But actually the moon is by nature dark and cold. But in association with the sun, it has become accepted as great. This is the real position. So I thank you very much for your appreciation, for your appreciating my Guru Maharaj, who wanted to preach Krishna consciousness all over the world. For this, he is so great." So Srila Prabhupada always maintained firmly the mood that whatever he had done and whatever he was doing was simply the inspiration and the mercy of his Guru Maharaj. And he would also speak of him saying that he was the one who spread Krishna consciousness all over the world. But we, being being the direct family of Srila Prabhupada, we of course accredit everything to him. We see that he did it. But he saw that it was the inspiration of his spiritual master. And this is how the Guru Parampara system works. So we'd like to study a little bit about the life of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Now, in this book that I gave out, mostly we have only songs. But in the beginning, right after the table of contents, you'll see there is a timeline of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur's life. We don't have sufficient time to go through the whole list of activities that he performed. But we can just examine a few of the outstanding ones. So he appeared in this world on February the 6th, 1874. And then he grew up, as we know, he appeared in Jagannath Puri. And he grew up in Jagannath Puri for some time and traveled also to other places. Then in 1905, after he had been initiated by Srila Gokishore Das Babaji Maharaj, due to a fight, repeated disagreement with Radharaman Charan Das Babaji, who is the head of the Sakhi Beki Upper Sampradaya that still maintains control of the Haridas Thakur's Samadhi Mandir in Jagannath Puri. So Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur used to argue very vehemently against his wrong philosophies. So Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, his father, sent his son at this time to Mayapur. At that time, there was nothing very much developed in Mayapur. It was mostly just farming land. And he set himself up a small hut at the place that he called Rajapatan. And it later became known as the Chaitanya Math, and it became the headquarters for the Gaudiya Math. So he set himself up there and he began to chant. He wanted to chant a billion names. This was his preparation for his preaching work. So what can we do? We can't do anything. We're just simply resting on the mercy of these great Mahapurush devotees. So he started chanting 1 billion names. It took him about 9 years of chanting 3 lakhs of japa. That's what Haridas Thakur was chanting, same amount. Chanting for 9 years. And also, if you read in his biographical notes, he also performed other activities as well, sometimes traveling here and there and sometimes even preaching. So he lived in this hut mainly chanting. And when it would rain, if there was a hole in the hut, the thatch on the roof, he'd put up an umbrella and keep chanting. He did nothing for his own bodily maintenance. And in this way he prepared himself. In 1914, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur left this world. And in 1915, Srila Gaurkishore Das Babaji Maharaj also left. And then in 1918, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur accepted the sannyas order from a picture of his Guru Maharaj. He was then 44 years old. Up until this time, mostly he spent his time basically in chanting, some book publishing and mostly chanting. He had not begun any active preaching. Then he had one dream around about this time in which all the Guru Parampara blessed him and encouraged him that you should now begin your preaching mission. So then, after that, he began preaching in Calcutta, which was where our Srila Prabhupada met his spiritual master in 1922. In 1921, he had already introduced, first of all, Navadvip Parikrama. And it's interesting to note that he introduced the three parikramas, Navadvip Parikrama in 1921, and then later on in 1932, he took over a thousand of his disciples and he did Braj Mandal Parikrama. And in each place that he went, both in Navadvip and in Braj, he met severe opposition. Because he had taken it upon himself to fight against this caste system, that one is a Brahmin by birth. So he freely gave out the sacred thread to anyone that he felt was qualified, no matter what was their position in society. And for this he was greatly opposed, even by members of his own institution. So you can imagine, now we don't think about this at all. We just take initiation and we accept the mantras and we don't even think that there was a point when this was absolutely inconceivably unheard of in the Indian culture. And it was Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur who was forcing open the doors of India's spiritual culture to allow the whole world to enter. Forcibly doing this. No one else would dare. He went against all the conventions. He argued on behalf of his father, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, about the principle of whether Brahman was higher than a Vaishnava. And he went and spoke, and he spoke first of all so eloquently, glorifying the Brahmanas, that they were all feeling very much pleased that yes, this is very nice. So many Shastric evidences about the glorious qualities of a Brahmana. And then he proceeded on brilliantly in his arguments to defeat these prejudiced views by glorifying how much superior to Brahman position was that of a Vaishnava. And by the time he finished his arguments, everybody in the room was completely defeated. And those who understood the importance of what he was saying were so overjoyed that they lifted him up and they were taking the water from his feet, bathing his feet, and they were so happy to see his brilliance, his eloquent presentation. So then in 1925 we see that he took Navadvip Parikrama around and he was stoned. There's a story, there are two stories that Srila Prabhupada has told. One is that one time some envious pandas or sahajiya babajis who were maintaining that different places that they were the proprietor of were the actual places of pilgrimage or the places of Leela of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu became very much disturbed and they plotted to kill Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. This was how radical his mood was. So they approached the police chief and they wanted to give him a donation that we're going to do this, please don't say anything. So the policeman said, I can't take a bribe for this. I can take a bribe for many things, but not for the death of a saintly person. So he immediately went to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur and said, this is the position, please be very careful. So there's also another story that when they were on Parikrama, they were outside with stones threatening to stone him. So one of his disciples, Keshav Maharaj, he changed cloth with Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur because he was also very thin. He was not a sannyasi at the time, he was wearing white cloth, he was a brahmachari. But he changed his cloth with Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur and he went out in the saffron cloth as if he was Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Unfortunately, he was not harmed, but what risks he took. just to impart the teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu properly in the Indian culture. So we see he did so much preaching. I only put down some of the prominent things that he did, but he was traveling around India, extensively traveling, spending much time also in Jagannath Puri, which was his birthplace. And on the second page in 1935, on his 61st birthday, he also circumambulated Jagannath Puri. So he was the originator of the parikram in all three places. Then, after that, he spent some time at Radhakund, where Srila Prabhupada, of course, heard the very prophetic comments when Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur understood there was going to be, in future, fighting within the Gaudiya Math. So he warned Srila Prabhupada in simple terms by telling him that there will be fire. And this was in connection with the fighting that was about to take, had already broken out over the rooms at the Bagh Bazaar Gaudiya Math. So he had built a very wonderful establishment in Calcutta with marble walls and very nice rooms. And previous to that, they had lived very poverty-stricken. Even in the Chaitanya Math in Mayapur, they were always very poor. But as they acquired wealth, then this also politics arose amongst the members, and quarrelling took place, who should have which room and what should be given to whom. So seeing this, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur knew this was the beginning of trouble. And Srila Prabhupada told us also that when he saw that the neophyte devotees in the Gaudiya Math was increasing, then he left. He left this world. So then he warned Srila Prabhupada that he would have preferred, he would be much happier if they had taken the marble off the walls and used it simply to print books. So then he told Srila Prabhupada at that time that I have a desire to print some books. So if you ever get money, print books. So we know, of course, that this went deep into Srila Prabhupada's heart, and it inspired him to make his contribution to the whole world of the book distribution that took place during his pastimes and has continued since that time. So then, in 1937, very early in the morning in Calcutta, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur left. His disappearance pastime took place. His disciples placed his body surrounded by many flowers on a train, and they took his transcendental form to from Calcutta to the place that he loved so much called Brajapattan. And there they placed him in samadhi. So when we go on Navadvip Parikrama, which he instigated and originated on behalf of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, our first day. So we see here also his contributions summarized. He established 17 maths in Navadvip. So when we do Navadvip Parikrama, as I was noting, looking at this map up here, 17 of the main places were established by him. He located them, or he established a temple there. And 13 more in Gaur Mandala. So that's 64 temples in all of India, Gaudiya Maths. 5 in Puri, 10 in Vrindavan. And he wrote volumes of literature, and he edited and printed. So I'd like to read you quickly here a short description of him. His physical appearance was tall. He had long arms, a slender body, broad forehead, aquiline nose, intense eyes, golden complexion, and he was full of ecstatic love of God. His presence was amiable and majestic. He was well versed in all subjects and scriptures, having devoured and memorized many libraries, and he was called the Living Encyclopedia. He knew Sanskrit, Bengali, English, astronomy, and many other branches of knowledge. He was very courageous and had unlimited capacity for preaching, and was naturally decorated with the 26 qualities of a pure devotee. Srila Prabhupada once commented, when asked about his divine grace, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj, he said, "What can I say? He was a Vaikuntha man." So he was so wonderful. So we want to especially hear something that I found that he had written. This is in his a book called Sri Chaitanya's Teachings, which is an English translation of some of the things that Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur wrote. So he speaks of something very interesting. He talks about a principle, he spoke of this often, that there are three things we have to learn to serve. We have to learn to serve Krishna Nam, the holy name of Krishna. The second one is we have to learn to serve Krishna Dham, the holy abode of Krishna, or Lord Chaitanya, Gaur Nam, Gaur Dham. And the third one is we have to learn to serve Krishna Kam, or the desire of Sri Krishna. So he says here, the service of the holy name, of the holy Dham, and of the supreme desire of Godhead is available to all of us. And there is no other means of escape from the clutches of worldly inclinations for any creature other than the service of the holy name. The service of the name enables humanity to free itself from the hold of all superstitions and wrong ideas, and to be rooted in the service of the desire of Krishna, Krishna Kam. The service of the Dham frees one from the jaws of illusion, Mayavad, the terribly wrong theory that a jiva or creature is himself God or master, and that there is no existence except in the human imagination of the holy name, form, qualities, and pastimes of the Lord. The service of Krishna's desire saves one from the hands of the great foe of hankering for one's own sensuous gratification. One is thereby freed from serving the earthly passions and may be installed in the service of the desire of the transcendental despot in the singing of the saving hymn of transcendental love, Kama Gayatri. As the consequence of putting on this gross physical body, base desires for the gratification of physical senses have cropped up. In consequence of the coil of the subtle material or mental body, indifference to the service of Godhead has grown, and mental speculations are ever driving us in the opposite direction. But this wrong direction is turned towards right if the inclination to taste for the and taste for the service of Krishna's desire dawns. The service of Krishna's desire is gained if and when we take the service of the Dham. The Sanskrit word Dham has different lexiconic meanings. But in the sense in which it is understood by the wise, it means that place where there is no scope of any desire for injury or envy or mortality, and which is ever self-effulgent, spiritual and blissful. The service of Sri Dham will lead us, as a matter of course, to the service of the holy name and the holy desire of Krishna. Relation with Sri Dham being established, the means of the service of the holy name soon brings one to the goal of the service of Krishna's desire, and this is the only object of life. Relation with the worldly abode and hankering after ordinary worldly life soon ceases for one who realizes his relationship with Sri Dham. Mere pretense to serve the name, apart from service of the Dham, and living aloof from all relations therewith, will never lead one to the goal of the service of the holy desire of Krishna, Krishna Kam. So this is very lofty. I don't know if you could follow it or not. But he's explaining the relationship between the holy name and the holy Dham and Krishna's desire. What is Krishna's desire? And this Krishna's desire, in a sadhana way, what we should do day by day, and in a more deeper internal way, what is Krishna's desire? What is his desire within his pastimes? These things cannot be understood properly in full brilliance without having a relationship with the holy Dham. Because by coming here, Krishna's pastimes become a reality. We go to the places, we see here Govardhan, we see here the Jamuna, we go to see the temples that were established by Brajanath just shortly after Sri Krishna left this planet. We see the places and the deities that were established sometimes by the Goswamis, or we see them perhaps in Jaipur, but we can see these objects, these temples, these things that have a direct connection with the worshipful deity of the particular place. Similarly, in Navadvip Dham, these deities here of Gornitai that we see behind, these deities here of Sri Sri Gaur Gadadha from Champahatta, these deities were being worshipped at the time of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. These are not ordinary deities that were installed short time ago in one of our new temples, but these are deities that date back from the pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself. So when we see things like this, then the reality of Lord Chaitanya's pastimes becomes obvious to us. And when that dawns, then we have a mature desire to serve Krishna's desire. Because we can understand that Krishna is real. He is the transcendental reality. So whatever he wants is the ideal thing for us. So we develop the faith and confidence to surrender to him by the mercy of the service of Krishna Nam, Krishna Dham, and Krishna Kam. So I want to just read a little bit, because our time is short and I've been warned by my good husband that everyone has to go to the evening aarti. So we'll try to finish on time. So I want to read a little bit about when he took the Navadvip Parikrama out. This is also very inspiring. This is the time they went to Navadvip Parikrama in 1925. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur and his followers were performing the circumnavigation of Navadvip Dham, which had been a regular practice since 1921. The procession was proceeding with the deities mounted on the back of an elephant, and thousands of pilgrims were loudly chanting the holy name. So we can just imagine what it was like. It must have been completely ecstatic. Thousands of people. And Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur predicted that in the future, all of the followers from Bengal and all the followers from all over the world will merge together in huge Harinam. He said, just like all the rivers flow into the ocean, all the different creeds and castes and all the different religious paths will merge into Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan movement. And perhaps even in our own lifetime, we will see Sankirtan with thousands upon thousands of people marching in Navadvip Dham. Already in Mayapur, the devotees are talking about having one Navadvip Parikrama after another go out every day. Because anyone who hasn't registered, could they please return the books? Only those who have registered can have a book. And also, perhaps I'm sorry to interrupt like this, but could I hand around my attendance sheet? I'm not very organized, I'm sorry. But so they're trying to arrange how to have one parikram go out after another. So one is moving around. They build permanent places that that will serve 1,000 people, and they send out one parikram one day, and then the next day they send out another one. So they're starting in behind the other one, and another one the next day, and they'll have 1,000 people marching through one day through this one village, and the next day another 1,000, and the next day another 1,000. And perhaps the time will come when whole countries, you know, there'll be a Russian parikram and an Australian parikram and an American. We have no idea. Srila Prabhupada set up his bhajan kutir, nobody could imagine, could conceive of. In 1974, the first 400 people, we thought, my gosh, 400 people have come here. And now daily that amount comes, and thousands come on Gaur Purnim. So what will happen in the future, we don't know, but it will just multiply, it will flood. All of the world will be flooded, coming from this Navadvip Dham. So this circumambulation has a great history beginning with Sri Jiva Goswami being led on circumambulation of the Dhamma by Lord Nityananda himself after the disappearance of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So this is recounted in Bhaktivinoda Thakur's Navadvip Dham Mahatmya. So if we have a little time, we can read a little of that also. In Bhakti Ratnakar, another very old historic book, it is also told how Narottam Das Thakur, who was very famous acharya after the time of Lord Chaitanya, and Shyamananda Prabhu and Ramachandra, actually Srinivas Acharya and Ramachandra Kaviraj, took this same journey with Ishan, a lifelong servant of Lord Chaitanya's mother Sachi. And Krishna Mishra, one of the great devotee sons of Advaita Acharya, had some servant of Mother Sachi called take him and others named Jagabandhu and Virachandra, who established the worship of the deity of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu at Katwa. And after they performed the installation and took sannyas, they also performed circumambulation of Navadvip Dham. So this is an old practice. It has been going on for a very long time. While Srila Saraswati Thakur was proceeding with the roaring procession with the deities of Sri Sri Radha Govinda, a vicious crowd attacked the procession, throwing hundreds of stones and bricks. Demonic persons, agitated by the preaching of Srila Saraswati Thakur, who had refuted all the various bogus doctrines of the 13 Sahajiya sects, like the Olds, Bolds, etc., had instigated the local people against him. Srila Saraswati Thakur had also debunked, as he would throughout his preaching, the nonsense practice of compulsory fees for viewing the deities and the worship and reciting of Srimad Bhagavatam for money. So all of these corrupt practices were very common in Navadvip at that time. And he was uncompromising in his criticism of all of these things. So because he was so strong in these ways, there were very many people who opposed him. Therefore, these people who tried to profit by all these practices led and instigated the local population to commit violence on the procession. Srila Saraswati Thakur, the deities and the pilgrims were all pelted by these demons, but the procession continued unbowed. This was the living example of the adage, "The jackals may howl, but the caravan will pass." An eyewitness wrote in the Ananda Bazaar newspaper, "Today I saw the reenactment of the activities which were carried out 400 years ago towards Avadhut Nityananda by the two wicked constables of Navadvip at that time, namely Jagai and Madhai." So this was one of the most important contributions of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur to Navadvip Dham. And at the same time also, as I said, he opened so many different Gaudiya Math temples there. Because of the fact that he preserved these places, it's possible for people in future generations to continue to do this Navadvip Prakrama in a way that before Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was not possible. Very few people knew where these special places were, but he solidly established them. So for this purpose, we would like to honor him, his contribution to our understanding of Navadvip Dham. And I'd like to read you a little bit here, 10 minutes worth, of about Lord Nityananda. "Listen, O saintly people, as I sing this description of Navadvip Prakrama, referring to the scriptures. The statements of Shastra, the words of the Vaishnavas and the teachings of the Lord, these three are my life. Taking shelter of these three, I will describe the rules for circumambulating Navadvip." Listen, everyone. "When Sri Jiva Goswami as a young man left his home in Chandradvip, in great eagerness he cried out, 'Nadia, Nadia,' as he travelled along the paths. He lamented with tears flowing from his eyes like streams, 'O Gauranga, Nityananda, you are the life of the living entities. When will you show mercy on me and give me your darshan?' Again and again he exclaimed, 'O Navadvip, topmost of all dhams, when will I see you?'
It was a startling sight to see the young, attractive form of Jiva, who was practicing extreme renunciation. His heart was always full of ecstatic love as he traveled along. Then after some days, he arrived at Navadvip. Seeing the city from a distance, he offered his dandavats and nearly lost consciousness. After some time, he regained his composure, and trembling in ecstasy, he entered the town of Navadvip. When he came to Barakona Ghat, he asked, "Where is Nityananda Prabhu? Please let me see him." One devotee, seeing the elevated emotional state of Jiva Goswami, offered to take him to where Lord Nityananda was staying. At that time, Nityananda, in great ecstasy, began roaring with laughter on perceiving that Sri Jiva was coming to see him. As Nityananda ordered his servants to bring Jiva there, many Vaishnavas went out to call him. Upon seeing Jiva, whose body was filled with ecstatic symptoms, they could understand his identity. Filled with love, someone came forward to reveal the order of Nityananda Prabhu. Just on hearing the name Nityananda, Sri Jiva fell to the ground unconscious. After a few moments, he got up and exclaimed, "Oh, I am greatly fortunate. Though I am the lowest of men, I have received the mercy of Nityananda Prabhu." Offering his dandavats to those devotees with a glad heart, he said, "If you show mercy to me, then I can get the mercy of Nityananda. This is the verdict of the scriptures." So then the devotees took him to take darshan of Lord Nityananda. And then he asked Lord Nityananda, please take me on parikrama. So Lord Nityananda happily agreed, and there's a description of how they started out walking. He was following behind Lord Nityananda, and he took him to one place after another. Saying this, Nityananda Prabhu got up, and Jiva followed him with a happy heart. Nityananda moved forward slowly, for his body was extremely agitated with ecstatic love for Gauranga. Nityananda Prabhu was engrossed in ecstasy, and his enchanting form was decorated with golden ornaments which glittered and shone. The very feat that Brahma and Shiva cannot attain by meditation was served out to Sri Jiva simply by the mercy of Sri Nityananda. Thus Jiva followed the Lord, taking the dust of the Lord's feet and smearing it all over his body. So off they went in great happiness. So then the rest of the book describes that parikrama. So I've been asked to stop and ask if anyone has any questions, so we can finish on time. Are there any questions about Navadvip Dham, Navadvip Parikrama, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, or anything?
Is the elephant still there?
Dadu? What a profound question. Can anyone answer? Dadu, I profess not to know the answer of your question. But I think that the elephant's not still there. Definitely. We have one very good question. Any further? No one can follow your question, Dadu. Any more questions? Yes.
I guess what you said about serving the name, these are those three things.
If you like, I can try to get that typed out. Can we type that out? And then devotees can, I can give that out to you. Because it's quite profound. It actually needs to be read about 4 or 5 times. It's not really fair to read it out loud and expect you to catch it. You can do that? Mm-hmm. All right. So we'll give that out tomorrow so everyone can read that again. About the Naam, Dham and Kaam. How they're interrelated. Yes? I think there has to be. But not of Navadvip. Yes. We'll go somewhere, I don't know. Definitely. So we'll have to follow the rules and have big kirtan and some bhajans when we get there. And we will have to bring you. Definitely. We'll bring our team. Any more questions? Nothing. I'm going to finish too early. All right, then we'll have to finish up and you'll have to go to the evening arti. Jai Gaur Premananda Hari Hari Bol. Srila Prabhupada ki
jai.
Navadvip Dham ki
jai.
Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur ki
jai.